back to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite. We're joined by Lenny the Cool, Len Dawson, as well as Solomon Wilcox. Lenny, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
It's our Wednesday morning quarterback session. I figured Solomon and Lenny, we'd start with the quarterback issue, the fact that Trent Green may be coming back to practice, but he's still out after that concussion for at least two more weeks, and Damon Heward's seemed to have done a very good job, competent job in his place, and Ben Roethlisberger has a concussion. Peyton Manning looked like he was headed for one, but he's, for some reason, resilient enough. Maybe it's that big, thick neck of hers. I don't know how he did it, but he withstood two poundings in the Redskins game, and then Hasselbeck's out for 3 weeks, pointing again to the fact that you've got to have two great quarterbacks in here. Let's start with, speaking of quarterbacks, Drew Bledsoe and this game last night, guys, and what it says for the protection of the quarterback and why the Cardinals are never going to win consistently without it, and even Dallas is not going to be able to do anything without a good running game and a good offensive line. Lenny.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing you can do as a quarterback if you're not getting any time to throw the football, because pass patterns, so much of the pass patterns take time to develop, and you need that protection to let that thing work out. And I'm looking at Drew Brees, and that, sometimes they didn't even slow down those defensive linemen, and I'm watching some of these games where they didn't even block the defensive linemen. Now, Arizona didn't anyway, so Kansas City had that problem early on this season, and they were getting swamped there. I mean, the quarterbacks got knocked out, one of them, Trent Green, and they harassed the other quarterback where he was only taking a one-step drop before throwing the ball, because that's about all the time he needed. Fortunately for Kansas City, they have improved and doing a better job of not only throwing the football, but last ball game running the football as well. So I'll tell you what, that's an interesting situation in Dallas as to what Parcells is going to do, whether he's going to give the young quarterback an opportunity to start and go the whole game, or whether he'll go back to Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, Solomon Wilcox, what's your take on that? What do you think the decision? I mean, it seems the decision's already been made, even though Romo made two horrendous decisions late in the game that could have made a difference.
Yeah, I just think the Dallas Cowboys right now are second-guessing themselves big time. They started out the season believing that they had a team that could make it to a Super Bowl, and now they seem to be thinking that Drew Bledsoe is the biggest liability with their football team. And I still believe that, you know what, they're questioning the fact that he's not mobile and he can't run around like Tony Romo. Well, that's the only thing Tony Romo has that maybe Drew Bledsoe doesn't have. I still believe that the quarterback doesn't necessarily have to be a guy who can run around, that he has to be able to make plays with his mind, be able to make good decisions with the football. There's no way you can tell me that they stand a better chance of winning games with Tony Romo, the inexperienced player at the quarterback position. They need to look at their protection schemes. They need to look at protecting him up the middle, keeping him standing upright, so that Drew Bledsoe can put his best foot forward. I think that Drew Bledsoe gives them the best chance of winning ball games, and I think the fact that he's not mobile, in my mind, there's been a lot of quarterbacks who've played a lot of games and gone to the Hall of Fame without being mobile, simply because they make good decisions and they can make the throw.
You're right about that. Let me ask you something. Who are the two best quarterbacks in the league? Would it be Peyton Manning and perhaps Tom Brady? Are they running quarterbacks? No, they are not. They're intelligent quarterbacks and they're very accurate quarterbacks, but they're not that mobile of quarterbacks. You can't do it, period. If you don't protect your quarterback, your passing game is not going to be worth the darn. You have to be able to do that. You know, they should start with the offensive line. That's the problem. It's not Drew Bledsoe and his ability to throw the football, because he can throw the ball about as accurately as anybody in the game, but he does need time to do that.
And you see that with Edgerrin James. I mean, one of the four or five best running backs in the league, and 32 carries for 55 yards. You can't run the ball like Dallas could not last night, and your quarterback's in major trouble. Len, what also happened when LeVar Arrington sacked Bledsoe for a safety? Whose fault is that?
Well, I don't know whose responsibility it is to block him, but you don't ever turn somebody loose. In any situation, you don't turn a linebacker loose, you don't turn a defensive end loose without somebody covering and responsibility of at least trying to check that guy and block him. I don't know whether it was a back's responsibility or whoever it was, but you can't turn anybody loose on that line of scrimmage.
We had Bill Moss talking about how difficult it is to maintain offensive lines. You see with the upset of Seattle what Minnesota's offensive line has become with the addition of simply one major talent at left guard. Here's Bill Moss talking about how difficult it is to have continuity at the offensive line these days.
Just given the fact of the salary cap, you can't keep offensive linemen for 5-6 years anymore like you used to be able to. And your offensive line was set in stone, and that's what it was for years. But now it seems to change every year, so you know you have to come to a lot more simple scheme. It's almost a universal scheme if you look around the league. But the zone blocking is a big part of it. But any of that guys, is, you know, is our team today. That's a team that's been getting it done in a multitude of ways too.
That's Bill Moss talking about Indianapolis and zone blocking, more simple blocking schemes, and so they can pick the pieces. They lose one piece of the puzzle, they can put somebody in more quickly. But there also is that, we've talked about this many times, Len, that intuitive sense of a Tom Brady, a Len Dawson, a Peyton Manning, to be able to move quickly right or left or forward as well. And there are times when Drew Bledsoe just doesn't seem to have that.
You know, certain quarterbacks have a sense of when danger is about to happen. You know, without looking at it, you have to be able to feel that, have that sense that now is the time to get rid of the football. You also have to have some timer in the back of your head that say, you know, after 2.5 to 3 seconds, you had better do something against most any football team. And you know, sometimes he seems like he's oblivious to that. And the one thing, see, as a quarterback, you don't want to do. You want to protect the football. You don't want to throw interceptions. And you don't want to get sacked for losses because that makes it too tough to maintain a drive. Now, they changed the rules for the quarterbacks today where you can get outside the pocket, throw the darn thing away. That's not a penalty. It used to be a penalty for intentional grounding, but they can get away with that now. So quarterbacks have to be smart enough to know what they can and what they cannot do. And what one thing you cannot do, you know, how many times have you seen a quarterback stripped of the ball? He stand back there in the pocket, and he's oblivious to the fact that there's people all around him, and he does not protect the quarterback. They're taught to strip him of that ball, and you see it practically in every football game every weekend in the National Football League. So quarterbacks have to be intelligent enough to do a couple of things, and that is protect that football, don't take a loss, and don't take a chance on an interception. Now, you're still going to do that, Nick. It's still going to happen, but you want to do it, minimize it.
And we saw that in the let's move to the San Diego game, and later we'll talk about Sean Merriman, that situation. But in the fourth quarter, Kansas City's up by 2 touchdowns. Damon Heward, now they close it to 1, and Damon Heward gets stripped of the ball, blindsided from behind, took a little bit too much time as he's rolling out to his left, and suddenly, you know, San Diego's got life.
You know something? I've always believed this. Most plays don't work. Yeah. You know, give credit to the defense. And what the good thing is, and I'm doing the games for the Chiefs, so I saw that particular play. He should have just got rid of it. He got outside the pocket. Get rid of the football. You know, but coaches are always talking about making plays, making plays. Well, making a play is everybody doing their job, and so that you don't have a breakdown here or a breakdown there. And if everybody does their job, then you are going to make plays. But the quarterback is a guy with the football, and he has to be intelligent enough to know that if you're outside that pocket and the pursuit is there without you turning your head around to see it, you know it's there. You know, just get rid of the football.
Solomon, I had San Diego in my top four or top five in the league going into the game. It's always difficult. Kansas City goes from their worst performance, one of the worst performances of the season, down 31-0 against Pittsburgh at halftime the week before, to playing like a totally different team at home as well. What does this game mean? When you realize and you factor in it was Kansas City at home, what does this game mean for San Diego?
Well, I think it was one of those games where obviously Marty Schottenheimer had previously coached at Kansas City, had coached that football team, and I think he really wanted to win that game for a number of different reasons. The fact that there were some old ties there, fact that he wanted and understands that he's got to keep his team close enough to remain in striking distance to the Denver Broncos, who appear to be pulling away from just about everyone in the AFC. I think there was a lot riding on that game, and the fact that he wanted to see his young quarterback, Phillip Rivers, grow up a little bit and go into Arrowhead Stadium and be able to handle a tough environment and still be able to play well. So I think all those things were riding on that. And then the fact that, you know what, if you're going to lose your best linebacker to some kind of suspension for violating the league substance abuse program in Sean Merriman, you know that the wins are going to be more difficult to come by in the future. So, gosh, you want to go ahead and get this win under your belt so it gives you at least a little bit of cushion for those four games while he's suspended until he gets back. So I think there were a lot of things riding on this game, the fact that they wanted to continue their momentum and be able to show that they are indeed one of the top teams in the AFC. Took a huge step backwards, and I actually thought Kansas City would win the game, even though they had a poor performance in Pittsburgh. I thought Herman Edwards would really get his team's attention after that poor performance and get them ready to play, and they always play so much better at Arrowhead, and I don't know that many visiting teams coming in there understand it until they've had the opportunity to go in there and play. You just can't verbalize it for players. They have the experience to know what a big difference it is.
Hey, guys, let's shift to my favorite subject, of course, which is kickers. And what a tale of two teams when you look at Josh Brown last week in a 54-yarder to beat right at the buzzer to beat Seattle. And then you've got the Cardinals' game that could have been won, a huge victory over Chicago. Instead, they fell apart, and they fell apart again yesterday, which says, I think, really the end of the season for the Cardinals in every way. Atlanta, and I'm going to make my point here that Bill Cowher called a timeout too late before that original 56-yard field goal attempt. If you look at it, he actually calls it too late. The ball was already snapped, and luckily Atlanta got another chance, and Morton Anderson nailed the final chance to win that game. And you move on to Tampa Bay, a 62-yarder, and suddenly the Eagles, who had an amazing run at the end, they are defeated in a big game. And Kansas City, you know, a 48-yarder, it's called back because some stupid offside penalty movement, and they come back and hit a 53-yarder. So here we have parity, and we have games, literally, the confidence of teams riding on whether that kicker makes it in the end or he doesn't. Leonard.
Isn't that something? The guy who was working on his golf swing through training camp, he's the guy that's deciding the outcome of games. Who would have thought it, right, Nick?
But it gives hope to all us old people.
Yeah, well, no, it comes down to that, though. I think that's how important kickers are because we know it is a league of parity. We know that the worst team and the best teams, there's really not that much separating a lot of these teams on any given Sunday, and that the kickers are going to come down, going to really be vitally important to how the game unfolds. And so it's part of it. You just got to live with it, and that's why you got to really make sure that you can put the kicker under as much pressure as possible during the week in practice, having those impromptu moments.
So he's ready for it.
Where you got to get them ready for those pressure moments. And a guy like Lawrence Tynes, I can tell you right now, he didn't flinch. But you can't say the same for Neil Rackers, who missed field goals with the game on the line for two consecutive weeks. I think there are some kickers who are so much more prepared than others.
We're going to have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to shift to this controversy with Sean Merriman and what it means for San Diego and its great season. When we come back, final thoughts with Len Dawson and Solomon Wilcox. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite Network.